What up, Bro Powder Scott and Todd? Secret Scott special here on a Saturday night. Secret Saturday night Scotty special. We'll go with something like that. So Todd is out of town this week. He was in New York. I mean, I assume he's back in Baltimore now, but he was in New York this week, all week long with his new job. We're not talking about where he's working yet. Of course, we never talked about where he worked in the past either. Although if you listen enough to the show, you could probably get some context clues and figure it out. But anyway, so I'm not going to reveal that either. But so he was out and was going to do an episode of The Other Half with the wife, but we're going to put that off until tomorrow. But in order to continue the streak of putting up an episode every single week for the past, gosh, it's got to be 2.5 years now, something like that, I decided to just get on the mic and talk to the people, a little one-on-one, keep it nice and romantic. Not romantic, keep it nice and a little lounge conversation here with the people. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Secret Saturday Night Special with Scott here on the BroPod Network. Just going to be a quick one, 20, 30 minutes. Just going to bring you guys up to speed on a few things. I know I've gotten some emails on the cliffhanger from last week where I left you guys talking about the plumbing situation. So I'll give you an update on that. Obviously, a lot of you know the reason that I posted early last week, it was almost 11 days ago now, is because I went to Vegas with some friends, my annual trip. So I'll give you the update on that, and then a couple other tiny things, and then we'll call it a pod. Just again, real quick, want to hop on the mic and get something out there, get some content out there for the people. So, with that being said, I'll start with the plumbing thing. So, if you didn't listen last week, about what is it now? Today's Saturday, so I guess it would have been exactly 3 Saturdays ago. My math is correct. Last Saturday I was in Vegas. Saturday before. Yeah, I guess it was 3 Saturdays. No, two Saturdays ago. I was up in the kitchen doing some dishes and suddenly the water started coming up into the kitchen sink. Called the Roto-Rooter guy. They came and ran the snake down the line. Didn't pull anything up. Didn't clean anything out. They said they'd be back the next day, which was Sunday. It did not show up. So they'd be back the next day, which was Monday. Didn't show up. So finally on Tuesday, I called a different company because I was leaving on Wednesday for Vegas. Yeah, so this was 2 Saturdays ago. And they came out late Tuesday afternoon. They couldn't find anything either. And so they said, we're going to need to bring the guy in with the camera. The guy with the camera came, did the scope, and determined that my pipe was corroded. My secondary line, but the kitchen pipe was corroded. By the way, you're listening to some smooth jazz in the background, if I edit this properly, which I think is what I'm going to do. Just had that idea. But anyway, so, but couldn't figure out exactly what it was. Didn't know why it was that, oh, you guys don't know all of that, do you? So that's what happened. That's where I left you, because we knew Tuesday night the guy had snaked down the secondary line from the basement as opposed to from the kitchen, and he kept getting stuck on something, and he was putting all his body weight into it. He could not figure out what it was. So when the guy came with a camera, and I'm standing right there over his shoulder watching him scope the secondary line before it hits the main heading out to the street, and it got to a point where it was pretty gunky, pretty gunked up, as happens in every kitchen line. But he was able to get through, but then he'd pull back, like meaning pull it, as if he's pulling the camera back up into my basement. And it would kind of get stuck. He'd push through, pull back, push through, pull back. So what he had me do was he had me fill the sink up, the kitchen sink up with water, and then release it all at once. So a big gush of water, right? And what he found is that, so when the water fell from the kitchen sink line down to the basement. It's about a 10-foot drop. And then it, you know, takes a hard right turn and heads out towards the main sewer line. Right there at that turn, the pipe had a crack in it. There was, and he knew that because he pulled his camera line up to that turn. And when I do that test where I'd fill the sink up and then dump the water through, the water would go through that main pipe, dropping down, and then it would make the turn and go out towards the main line. But if he kept his camera there, there was still water. So basically, if you envision water coming down a pipe and then, again, making a 90-degree turn, it was as if there was a little pocket where you could keep going down for like 6 more inches instead of making the turn. And that's where his camera was sitting. So clearly the pipe had just over, you know, literally 50 years, assuming it was the original pipe from when the house was built, had corroded out, and it was now kind of slowly eating into the ground, which was not good. And he further confirmed that by showing, and I could see all this again on the scope, by showing that there were actually little rocks. Like there was not just, you know, kitchen gunk and slime and whatever, like there were actual rocks. So that's not good. Not only was the pipe busted, but it also had kind of a fracture, more than a hairline fracture, but just a fracture on the bottom part of it that went a number of feet. And that, so the gunk was the corrosion. But again, that the real concern is if water is continuously literally draining into the earth, and if I allow that to continue happening, now we're potentially talking about foundational issues. So essentially what was happening and the reason it was backing up but would always drain over time is because they'd now busted through that corroded part, but there was just a bunch of earth and dirt and sediment that would build up. And the concern was if, you know, so I could theoretically keep using my sink and my dishwasher because they had kind of broken that clog up. But it was only a matter of time before it happened again. So he said, I could clear out the whole line, do the full 15 feet. Or he said he'd do 3 feet and then charge by the foot after that. And the price, turns out it would have been similar. It might have been a little cheaper if I'd done it that way. But I was like, look, man, just do the full pipe. Replace the pipe. It's got a 10-year warranty. It's transferable to the next owner, whatever. It was extremely expensive. I'm not even going to say how much it was, but there's a comma. And it wasn't at the top end, but it wasn't at the bottom end of the comma world either. I mean, it was 4 figures. It wasn't over $10,000, but it was a lot. It was a lot of money. And so they literally, this was Wednesday morning that we kind of finalized this was the issue. And I was flying out that afternoon for my 5-day vacation in Vegas. And he was like, I can schedule a guy tomorrow, or I think Friday at that point was earliest. So I talked to the wife. She's like, I don't want the guys being here while you're not here, which is completely understandable. So I said to the guy, because I got back from Vegas Monday night. I said, can you come on Tuesday morning? He said, yeah, sure. So sure enough, they came this past Tuesday, 7 a.m., 7:15, I think. They said they'd be here between 7 and 7:30, and they were. Just two guys at first showed up, and then the third guy eventually showed up and went down, sealed it off. I had to, by the way, Monday night when I got back, I had to pull up the carpet in that bedroom just for like 5 or 6 feet so they had room to go. Thankfully, it wasn't down the middle of the room. It was down kind of one side of the room, but I had to pull up the carpet and the pad underneath the carpet so that they could literally jackhammer a trench, and then they pulled up the old pipe, replaced it, and put in a new one, and resealed it with the concrete, the quickcrete. I was watching them mix it out in my driveway, and then that was it. And I paid them off. They were done by 11. I think it was right at 11 o'clock. I think I had an 11 o'clock meeting. Like 10:55, the guy's like, sir, can you come? You know, they did a little walkthrough inspection. I was like, looks good. He said, wait 24 hours before you put anything on that concrete thing, but otherwise you should be good to go. And that afternoon, ran the dishwasher, which had not been run in over a week, more like a week and a half. So that felt good and had no issues since. But just a real pain in the ass. It's one of those things that, you know, every house I've ever lived in, that specific thing has not been a problem. I've had plumbing issues in the past, sure, but that's sort of a fix, I guess, has never needed to be done. And it's just frustrating because, you know, if I'm going to put that kind of money into something, I'd rather put it into, you know, painting the house or new siding or, you know, whatever, something that you can see. This is literally a pipe buried in my basement that no one will ever see. But, you know, you got to be able to use your kitchen sink. You got to be able to use your dishwasher. So in order to do that, I had to make that correction. So homeownership at its best, not fun, not an expense I wanted, but there you have it. Now, unfortunately, that's not the only plumbing issue we have going on. We have had for months, maybe a year or more now, we've had an issue with our shower, the main shower, the master shower, the master bathroom. And for a long time, it was diagnosed, and I thought accurately, as water hammer. I now think that's incorrect. But basically what it is when you turn the shower on, water starts warming up. Once it gets warm, the pipes specifically behind the shower will start going pop, 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 and the water will turn. Initially, it was just turning down, like the water pressure would go down, and water was still coming out. Now, possibly just because of the violence of the shake of the pipes, it is turning off. You turn the water back on, pop, 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 pop. And you can kind of find a middle ground where the water's warmish, but certainly not comfortable or nice and hot. And kind of complete your shower. But most of the time, more often than not, 5-6 minutes in, pop, 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 just out of the blue. It's one of those things, it's like you're just waiting for it to happen. So that typically has only happened in the winter time. Over the summer, it's fine for whatever reason. I suspect it may be because the pipes are colder. I don't know. I had a plumber out a month and a half ago working on a separate issue. I had a pinhole leak. I probably talked about it on the pod, but I had a pinhole leak and a pipe coming out of the water heater that needed fixing. And I got him out work on that. And then while he was here, I was like, hey, can you take a look at my shower? And he looked at it. He thought maybe it was just a cartridge that needed to be replaced, the shower cartridge. For those of you plumbing experts out there, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't worry about it. And he actually replaced it, and it still didn't fix it. And so he was like, all right, we'll just make you pay for the time it took me to do all that. And he showed me how he did it, and I actually did that again today. I took it apart, and I didn't try to replace the cartridge. I was like, let me just kind of fiddle around. Because, you know, sometimes you just take something apart and rebuild it, it can fix a problem. So I tried that today, and it didn't work. So when that guy was out several weeks ago, he gave me a quote on what it would take to fix it the old-fashioned way, which is going into the wall from behind the shower, which unfortunately there is not a lot of showers will have a like a little door back there, an access point, if you will. My shower does not. So they would have to literally, you know, buzzsaw into the wall in order to access the pipes and do a whole bunch of shit that sounds very messy and expensive, and it is, and I'm not looking forward to it. So I'm trying to avoid that. I'm trying to find ways of fixing it without avoiding that. But anyway, he quoted me a price on that. And so that's still in the back of my mind. I thought about this earlier. Unfortunately, that price is now far lower than what I just paid to get that secondary pipe fixed. So it actually doesn't seem as bad now. When he initially quoted me that 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was like, oh shit, I'm not paying that much. But now it's like, well, I just paid 3.5 times that. So why not get that paid? Because that's the kind of thing. I mean, obviously not being able to use the kitchen sink or the dishwasher is something that affected us every day for the short time that it was impactful. But the shower thing is definitely something that impacts us, meaning my wife and I both, every day. You know, assuming we shower every day, it's a real nuisance and a pain in the ass. So would like to get that fixed sooner rather than later. So that's kind of the next item on the hit list. The only minor problem is that that closet has a bunch of crap in it. So we need to clean that closet out before such time that I can even ask another plumber to come over, let alone one that might do the cutting into the wall. So again, unless I can find somebody that says, yeah, we don't have to do that. Here's the fix, which would be amazing. Until that happens, if that happens, we will need to clean out that. And thankfully, it's just kind of a smaller closet, but the wife has a bunch of clothes in there, dirty clothes, and, you know, lady things that she doesn't want a plumber seeing. So I get it. So that'll probably happen in the next week. I'll at least get the second opinion. And if they say the same thing, hey, we're going to need to get in the wall, then I'll just say, what would you charge for that? And if it's higher than what the original guy quoted me, I'll call the original guy. If it's lower, I'll say, let's do it. But yeah, bunch of plumbing woes. But yeah, hashtag homeownership. That's just how it works sometimes. It's kind of a pain in the ass. And that's what's happening to me at this point. So anyway, so that's what's going on with the home stuff. But like I said, last Wednesday, not this one that just passed, but the Wednesday before, November 3rd, I believe it was, I flew out to Vegas, annual trip with my buddies. We've been doing this, I think, like 7-8 years in a row now. It's been a while that we go out there every year, and we literally just go out to gamble. We stay on the Strip, so it's not super cheap accommodations, but it's not, we're not looking for penthouses, we're not looking for suites, the Vegas suite that you hear about, none of that. We're just looking to go out there, have a good time, do some gambling, and have fun. And, you know, we're friends with each other, so we like to hang out with each other too, of course. But so yeah, I got there Wednesday night. Immediately went and met, we say at the Link, which is right there, right next to the Link Promenade, kind of center Strip, but it's an ideal location. Again, not the nicest hotel, but who cares? It's got a door that locks, it's got two beds, it's got air conditioning, it's got running water, it's got a shower that doesn't go pop, 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 pop every time I try to take a warm shower. And that's all I need. I don't even need all that stuff. So yeah, went across the street, met my buddy Pete. He was playing at Caesars. A few hours later, my buddy Tommy got in town. And so yeah, we hung out and played, Pete and I hung out and played poker until Tommy got in town. Then Tommy got in town and we went, met up with him and played some table games that night. Had some fun. And then rinse, repeat, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday night, Pete left. Sunday and then Monday morning, Tommy left. I didn't leave until later in the afternoon, Monday afternoon. That's when the cheaper flights were. But so yeah, had a good run. Ended up losing some money, but had a good run to the point where Sunday around dinner time, I was almost even. I was about $150 down. And then I had a couple losing sessions to grind out the trip, unfortunately. But it's always a good time. You know, it's interesting. Vegas is one of those places that I feel like everybody does it differently. And I'm certain I do it different from pretty much anybody else, except for Pete and Tommy. You know, again, typically we'll have two meals a day, and they're not fancy meals. Some of the poker rooms, I have enough comps that I can get free food. Also, we had a meal at White Castle. That's kind of a tradition. It's right there on the Strip next to Casino Royale. I had my annual Subway meal, which is in Casino Royale. There's now a Dunkin' Donuts in the Link. I had breakfast. That was, you know, meal number one a couple days in a row. I mean, the fanciest thing that we had was we went to Resorts World a couple times. Very nice new casino, by the way. North Strip Resorts World. I highly encourage you to check it out. But and they had a taco place kind of right outside on the property. And we had a couple meals there. And again, it wasn't even fancy. Like, it was, you ate outdoors and on picnic tables. But that was one of the pricier meals that kind of had that true Vegas pricing on it. But, you know, again, just didn't eat anything fancy. Never try to. There's plenty of stuff. Tommy and I had Chick-fil-A on Saturday for like our midday meal. I think that was our first meal of the day, honestly. So, you know, you just, when I go out there, I'm there to gamble. Anytime I'm not gambling is a surprise. I don't sleep that much. I just gamble, typically poker, couple table games that I tend to play, which I shouldn't because I almost always do better in poker than I do in the table games. And I think that was the case this time. But, you know, it's just a fun time. But that's how we do it. A lot of people like to go out there, see the shows. And look, I've seen the shows. I've been to Vegas for work and for other things. So I've done that. I've done the, you know, at the same time, when I go out there for work, I stay in the nicer hotels. But I just don't need that. My room was mostly comped. Still have to pay the resort fees and stuff. But so, yeah, I definitely do it on the cheap and have a good time. And I had a good time this year. And I hope that tradition will continue for many years to come, because it's just, it's our place to have a good time. And I will not reveal how well or how bad Pete and Tommy did, but let's just say as a group, we were definitely down, and leave it at that. And it's possible some of you listening to this know who those two guys are, so I won't put them on blast, as the kids like to say. But yeah, it's just one of those places that I like to visit. Try to get there at least once a year, typically twice a year. This year, the conference that usually gets me out there the second time was canceled because of COVID concerns. And this coming year, my child will be born probably right around the time of that conference. So it's unlikely that I will go. We'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, try to get out there a couple times a year and see what's happening out there in the streets. The gambling streets of the Mecca, as I like to call it. So anyway, and then one of the other things I wanted to talk to you guys about, just because I feel like this can't be just my problem, just my issue, if you will, not my problem, my issue, is TV shows that you keep watching even though there's really no reason to watch them anymore. I'm going to spill the tea on myself here. Several years ago, the now wife and I had been watching a show called Dance Moms for a number of years. And whenever a show like that on Discovery or Lifetime or TLC or whatever, whenever it's been on for a number of years, like I used to watch Johnny Kate Plus 8. That's another perfect example. It gets to a point where it's just a rhythm. It's a formula. You know what to expect in every episode. There's never any surprises. And depending on the show, and Dance Moms is the best example I can think of, you really start to resent the characters. They're just not likable people. And they've kind of become caricatures of themselves. Obviously, if you're not familiar, Dance Moms is a show that chronicles the life of mothers whose kids are in a competitive dance squad. And it's called Dance Moms. It's supposed to focus on the moms, but obviously the kids got some level of notoriety. A couple of them gone on to be, you know, B-level famous. Jojo Siwa, who was on Dancing with the Stars recently and apparently has a gigantic following on YouTube and TikTok, her career started on Dance Moms. But you, again, by seasons, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, beyond, the moms are just playing their part. They're being annoying. They're, you know, because without conflict, the show has no interest, right? And so they lean into that a little bit. The girls are just dancing the whole time. I don't fault them at all. But so at a certain point, another season was starting up and I was like, I'm not going to watch this anymore. And normally it's tough for me to make that clean break. But with Dance Moms and with other shows in the past, I've been able to do it. But the problem is, and the reason I'm bringing all this up, is there's still a number of shows that I cannot do that. Teen Mom OG and Teen Mom 2 are two shows that, look, I'm not going to say I don't enjoy watching them, because, you know, you're following now for 10 years the lives of these girls who started out being 16 and pregnant, and now they're in their late 20s. And, you know, I want to see how the story plays out. And they've done a shuffling of some of the characters here or there, but it's basically some of the same people. And so you do feel like you're just kind of along for the ride. But you know, would my life be any less fulfilling if I stopped watching it today and never watched another episode? No. I get over it pretty quickly. I've also got shows like Pawn Stars. Like, yeah, Pawn Stars on the History Channel, you can learn some things. You can learn some historical facts because they, you know, based on the item that's being brought in to be pawned or sold, they will put up facts about that item or about the time period or whatever. But it's now a show that and what I think was a pretty interesting move, because I'm pretty sure it's a very successful show for the History Channel. New episodes are now airing on Saturday nights. So as I'm sitting here on a Saturday night, there was a new episode, or actually I think it's just after 8 o'clock. It's airing right now. Why they put new episodes of any show on Saturday nights is beyond me. But also, they're now 2 hours. So the first hour is the new episode. The second hour is kind of a best of that they put together. You know, like it's a theme thing. Like most recently had like best toys or whatever that the Pawn Stars had purchased to resell. And I will invariably watch the whole thing. I'll watch the new hour, of course, because it's new material, but I'll watch the second hour, even though every single item, maybe one or two occasionally, would not fit this mold, but every single item, I saw the original show. So why am I rewatching it? Just stop it, Scott. Stop it halfway through and delete it and don't watch the second hour, but I do it anyway. And then another show, which in a similar vein, although this is on Discovery, not History Channel, is Moonshiners. I started watching Moonshiners whenever it started, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And again, there's just a cast of characters there. And same thing, some of the OGs are still on the show, but they've brought in some new ones as well. But this show, this season, and the new season just started a couple weeks ago. The new season, each episode, I think it airs on Wednesdays, is 3 hours long. And the first hour is new Moonshiner material. The second hour is kind of a spin-off show where some of the characters from Moonshiners bring in just local people who either work at breweries or just know how to make various spirits. And there's three of them they bring in. They have like a competition, like a two-day competition, and that airs. And then now the third hour is like a barbecue competition, which somehow relates to moonshining. I don't know. And I found myself a week or two ago watching that whole thing. 3 fucking hours of the Moonshiners, trademark, brand show. And really, I'm only interested in the first hour, and I'm kind of losing interest in that too, because you just realize how, I mean, it is cool. Of course it's cool. If I straight up didn't like it, I wouldn't watch any of it. But, you know, some of these backwoods guys are truly, you know, they have ingenuity. They are able to create things, and, you know, the way they build the stills, and, you know, if you saw them on the street, you'd think they, you know, couldn't do simple math, but they're putting together these different formulas to create new flavors and all this sort of stuff. And that part is still interesting to me. But at the same time, you quickly realize, like, a lot of this has to be so staged. How can these guys who are now public figures, you know, D-level celebrities, sure, but celebrities nonetheless, how can they go about and keep finding these spots in the woods to make moonshine? And the episode that I've not yet watched, but I'm about to, it's sitting on the DVR, in the preview they showed cops coming. But it's like, and I'll see, you know, who knows, maybe it wasn't cops, maybe it was somebody playing a prank on them, I don't know, but cops show up. You got this camera crew, production crew from the Discovery Channel. You got all these D-level celebrity moonshiner guys. Like, are they really going to arrest them? And then the other thing, one of the guys who's only been on the past couple seasons, Mike is his name, I believe. He actually has his own brand of moonshine that he sells, and he's got a decal on the back window of his truck. It's like, come on. I feel like somehow they have got to, you know, and there are ways to make moonshine legally, of course, but I feel like they're doing that, but then just kind of for the purposes of the show, still going into the woods and acting as though they are making the old school illegal moonshine. But there's something going on. There's some reality in between, and I just don't know exactly what it looks like. But anyway, but I have a series of shows like that that I just continue to watch. Storage Wars is a perfect one. Todd and I talked about that. I think it was on the show, on Mike, a couple weeks ago. In fact, I know it was. It's a terrible show that I have read many articles that says it's completely rigged. Like, they take these units, they fill it up occasionally with some high-priced items. And so everything's, you know, above board in terms of the characters of the show not knowing necessarily what they're bidding on and what they might get. But the big finds, you know, the huge value items are planted by the production crew, which, again, I've read that in a couple of different sources, and I just kind of conveniently forget it so that I can still get the entertainment value out of the show. But I don't know. I have an issue, and I acknowledge it. I have an issue with shows like that and my inability to stop watching them, no matter how bad they are. So is that true for any of you out there? Let me know. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. Let me know the shows that you can't stop watching. And again, I just feel like at least a part of it, part of the reason at least, is because I'm a completist. Like, I started watching, and once you get to like seasons 2, 3, and 4, unless it really just loses your interest completely, if there's even a mild interest, it's like, oh, new season. You know, and the way DVRs work, at least the way my DVR works through Xfinity, is you just have, you know, you have it set to record anything with that title. So I don't even realize necessarily, unless I just happen to see a headline, when the new season start or stop or whatever. It's just my DVR just says, oh, a new episode airing on this channel with this show name. And so it picks it up. And so out of the blue one day, and it happened again just a couple weeks ago with Storage Wars and with Moonshiners, like suddenly I got some content to watch. And so I watch it. And the reality is, you know, with so many different avenues, Todd and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, with so many different avenues and places to watch stuff, HBO Max, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, not to mention YouTube and other places like that. There's just so much content out there streaming that the time that I waste, and I'm acknowledging it as a waste of time, the time that I waste watching the extended versions of those shows that, you know, the OG show, okay, it's fine to keep watching that, Scott, but do you have to watch the Moonshiner thing about making new spirits, which I could care less about, I don't even drink, and specifically about the barbecue thing? No. Is it mildly entertaining? Barely. Will I keep watching it? I hope not. I hope I'll have the discipline to cut myself off and spend that time doing really anything else. You know, I'm behind on some of my YouTube stuff, some of the channels that I watch, you know, because of the Vegas trip. That was, and it's funny, typically in Vegas, when I'm sitting there at a poker table, I will sometimes watch videos, but I didn't really do that hardly at all on this trip for some reason. So, will I do that in order to catch up on those shows? Hopefully. And then of course, for me, the reality is, you know, now's a very busy time for sports. College football is still going on. So I watch the Clemson game every weekend. We had the Braves in the series, winning the series again. Congrats to the Braves a couple weeks ago. NBA is going on. So all those Lakers games hit my DVR. College basketball just started earlier this week. So every Duke game hits my DVR, unless it's on ACC Network, because I don't get that channel in my cable package. So again, and I'm fine continuing to watch those teams too. I'll probably support those teams till the day I die, just because I'm a big fan of Duke basketball and Lakers basketball. And even though, again, this team this year is just, I don't have time to go into that. But yeah, so I need to cut myself off and start dedicating more time to other things, or to, you know, spending time with my wife and dog and doing things with them, or watching shows that we all enjoy, at least, at the very least. So anyway, again, if you have that same issue, let me know. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. You can slide into our DMs, as you know, Instagram and Twitter, the_bro_pod. And you can find us wherever fine podcasts are listened to, as you know. So I'm going to call it right there, just under 35 minutes. It's about what I was expecting. Yeah, just wanted to get on, talk with you guys, keep the streak alive of uploading some content every week for a number of weeks, week after week after week. So I hope you enjoyed it. The more I think about it, I probably would not put a bed of music here, because that would just be a lot of extra work, whereas I could just upload this as it is and be done with it, and that would be a lot faster. So maybe I'll do that, although I do need to find some good intro and outro music. But anyway, so I thank you for listening. And next week there might be a twofer, because the wife still wants to record a pod. So there might be an episode of The Other Half, as well as Todd being back in town for the flagship BPST returning in full force. So again, I thank you for joining me for this very, very secretive Saturday night Scott session here on the BroPod Network. And until I speak to you guys next time,